Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, nice to have you along. It's hour two of our radio program here today. Reminder that we will interview Dan Lanning, Oregon head football coach, ahead of a very big game against Indiana on Saturday.
Isn't it weird that Penn State and Oregon was a top 10 matchup and was like billed as this gargantuan heavyweight battle? Here we are a week later, top 10 matchup, and is everyone's kind of like, eh.
Well, it's Indiana. I mean, come on.
Yeah, top 10. Indiana's better than Penn State.
I know, but, well, I don't know about that, but it's Indiana. Like, yeah. I think people are having a hard time. I know they're very good, but come on. Yeah. I think people are having a hard time wrapping their heads around the fact that Indiana is a top 10 team. It's a bit like Illinois being in the top 10 the other day.
Yeah.
And they lost by 53 points.
To Indiana.
To be fair. Yeah. But, yes, Dan Lanning will be on our show tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
I am excited about this one.
Let's go,
I think this has potential. Well,
it'll be a fun game.
The Penn State game ended up being bananas, but boy, for three quarters, it was not.
Now, so far this week on the show, we have yet to get into Oregon, Indiana, but that is going to change in about 1 hour. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll start unpacking that. But we are revisiting a conversation that we had a while back about sportsmen who have torpedoed their own legacies. And this is the non-criminal version. So Mark Sanchez doesn't count.
Yeah, it's
OJ doesn't count.
Yeah, when you do time behind bars because you kill someone, or in this case, violently attack a senior citizen delivering oil, like,
that's not what we're talking
about. That's
not
what we're talking about.
What we're talking about, and our gold standard, by the way, is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
We believe that Kevin Durant, no one has torpedoed their own legacy quite like Kevin Durant on his own accord.
Kevin Durant went from the most beloved player in the NBA. He won that MVP and he had that heartfelt speech. And dude, that guy, he was like, he would go play like flag football games at like college campuses, like in Oklahoma. He was everything. He was Damian Lillard. He was everything you could want in a small market team. And then he went to Golden State and for some reason decided to be a bitch.
Well,
and then he got the burner account. And
I think his true colors just showed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only fake it for so long, LeBron.
Yeah.
But LeBron's doing a better job at it.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant we just found out who he is, and he's very, very, very sensitive But he's very good at basketball. It's just
very good.
And then the move to the Warriors, like, dude, could you?
Well, and then
to leave the Warriors.
Exactly. You go to the Warriors. You're the MVP of the finals twice. You're the best player on that team. You could have stayed in Golden State and just kept winning titles and gone on to build just this, I mean, the big three. And people would have talked about that and been like, yeah, Steph Curry, but Kevin Durant was the best player on those teams. You decide to go and hitch your wagon to one of the losingest franchises in the NBA. But don't worry, you're going to team with James Harden and Kyrie Irving. And then you're like, nope, that's not going to work. And then you're like, you go to Phoenix, and then that thing just ends up being torpedoed. And all, like, the burners, and just he just is unlikable.
There are a lot of guys that we talked about. I remember the segments.
Rodgers is pretty good.
Aaron Rodgers is up there. Russell Wilson is up there. Yeah. Brett Favre certainly is up there. But Belichick's got to be number two at this point, doesn't he?
Dude,
that's
pretty...
the greatest coach of all time.
He went from this unicorn mythical figure, and he gets into a pissing match with Tom Brady. Brady leaves, and the thing that really, you know, that this burns him, and you ask like why he won't retire. I think that Tom Brady, I think he lives rent free in Bill's head. I really do.
Because he wants to do something good without Brady.
Yes.
And he has yet to do
that. He has yet to do it. In fact, since Tom has left, imagine you marry someone and you build a company together, right? Like you and your wife, and you build just this, you build Apple. Like you build just this once in a lifetime company, and then you get divorced and you each get half the company, and your wife goes on to greater heights. They reproduce the heights you had, and your company just
tanks.
Takes a steam that you know that when he lays his head there at night, he can't get over that.
Who do you think you are?
And so I think that's why he can't. He can't walk away from this. He can't, but I feel like the game has passed him by. No one wants to hire him. He goes out and has this weird midlife crisis with Jordan Hudson, which we get, but now he's doing weird Instagram bits. He wrote a book that no one bought. The interview was an unmitigated disaster. It's so bad at North Carolina. He will not allow any scout from the New England Patriots on campus at North Carolina. He won't allow anyone associated with North Carolina football to even tweet about the New England Patriots. So like when Drake May had that big win this weekend, North Carolina football or athletics cannot tweet about Drake May congratulating him. Apparently he's pissed off everyone at North Carolina to the point where everyone wants him gone. It's just like you. Oh, and by the way, they're one of the worst Power Four teams in the country. I mean, it's a stunning fall from grace. And you're right in that there's just not many that have achieved this level and then fallen so quickly without like a major, you know, a major jail time or, you know, something nefarious happening.
Durant is not a joke. I mean, he's very good at what he does. It's just how you view a person like that.
Yeah.
A little subjective.
Yeah.
Belichick, I mean, he's become a joke.
Yeah. He's a punching bag.
And it's just really hard to wrap your head around. Like, yep. I mean, the guy knows football. I mean, he's obviously really good.
One of the smartest dudes to ever be in that league. And not only did he build that as the coach, but he was basically the general manager.
Oh, yeah. But it's also kind of like the lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, how do you let you're a legend, dude. Yeah. How do you let all of this happen?
Well, I this is, I think, one of the reasons when he didn't get an NFL job, one of the reasons were when he would go around to those, to the interviews, Bill was like, I do this one way and one way only. And everyone was like, Bill, that doesn't work anymore. And Bill's like, no, I do it. And I can do it this way. And no one would give him that opportunity. They were like, Bill, the things have changed and we need to separate those powers. And when he eventually agreed to it, like in Atlanta, they didn't believe that he could do it. Arthur Blank really likes him. And he goes, he told him, I don't think you can collaborate with anyone. Like you have an inability. And this is like why great players don't always make great coaches. Like when Magic Johnson tried to be a coach or Michael Jordan, that doesn't work because for Michael Jordan, he expects everyone to act and behave like Michael Jordan. And so you can't coach that. You can't coach that sort of, that passion. You either have it or you don't. And I think with Bill was so successful doing it that way. I don't think he, and the North Carolina thing is proof of it. I just don't think he can conceive of it any other way. And yet that way doesn't work. He doesn't have the ability anymore. The game has changed. And so he's just kind of, he's just out to lunch. And unfortunately you see this a lot in the sports world where the game passes people by and they're unwilling, you know, with that Cowboys documentary, that kind of happened with Tom Landry. And people are like, oh, how can you get rid of Tom Landry? Because he can't do it anymore. You know, and it's one of the hardest things to do in life in general, but certainly sports, is to evolve beyond what you've been successful at. How many companies do we see that? What's the story that Blockbuster Video had a chance to buy Netflix for like $200 million? And the Blockbuster Video, like they looked at Netflix and were like, morons, our way. And they couldn't see beyond that. And I think that's Bill. He can't see beyond the 2006 NFL season. And he can't see beyond Tom Brady. and he thought he could do it without Tom. Well, it turns out, Bill, you can't.
Hey, maybe Odyssey Portland market manager Ryan Cooley can pull a few strings at his alma mater, Lewis and Clark, and get Bill out there.
I wonder at what level.
Bill to Corvallis?
I wouldn't want him.
Well, I can't get much worse. They're winless.
That's sad, but
hey, he's won two games at North Carolina.
That's true. You know, that is sad. I would, if I was Oregon State and Bill Belichick came to me and said, I would like to be your coach, I would say thanks, but no thanks. But at what level?
But who you get? I mean, like,
I'd rather go hire someone from
wow.
I'd rather go hire a young.
Well, that says all you need to know right there.
Yeah, a young up. Well, college football especially is a young man's game.
I can't even imagine.
Bill won't recruit. He won't, you know, pulls the Deion Sanders. Bill's not working phones. Have you seen some of the reports that, and by the way, these come from like players and like families. This isn't like made up crap. Like they brought in top recruits. Like Oregon has a big one with Indiana. So they will bring in recruits to stand on the sidelines. You know, it's like, hey, why don't you guys come to the Indiana game? They were doing that, like at North Carolina. They were bringing in top players and then had them sit in a room for like an hour waiting for Bill. And then we're like, oh, I'm sorry, coach got caught up. He's not going to be able to see you today. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're living in a world where literally your livelihood revolves around you kissing the ass of 18-year-old players. I got Dan Lanning taking his shirt off, not wanting to, jumping into a pool with a kid in his underwear, which is weird enough while, like, some gals look on. But he knows that's what it takes. Meanwhile, Bill is making...
By the way, they lost that kid.
They did lose that kid. Meanwhile, Bill is sitting there making kids wait, and then after an hour, be like, sorry.
What an opportunity.
Can't do it. And so... I actually think it might be worse in a place like Oregon State than it is in North Carolina. I mean, maybe some small school somewhere. I could see Bill taking over a high school program and everyone hating him. High school, you can keep everyone under your thumb, I guess. But this,
I think it'd be kind of cool to be a high school player and play for him.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I mean, you know,
he said he's okay in the media. A YouTuber said, at least on the chat, said making the primetime producer. We got this job open.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
You think Bill would apply?
Boy.
I will say this too about him.
Who would he hate more, me or you?
Oh, probably me. You're the football guy. he doesn't. I would imagine he doesn't care for anyone who can't. I mean, we all know this guy.
Yeah.
Me working in this business, I see this guy all the time.
Yeah.
It's really sad, but they can't relate to anything or anybody outside of football.
No.
Or their sport.
Me and Bill could bond over Navy
and
football.
He would love you for that.
Yeah. Like, Bill, let's talk Army-Navy.
But the thing about him, too, he's pretty good on... he's dry, but he's pretty... has kind of a sense of humor on... when I've seen him on game day and in media. He's actually better than you would think.
Yes. 100%.
But when it comes to coaching, apparently he can't... I don't know, he can't let that out or something. I don't know. It's a weird deal.
Well, Matt, again, it's just... it's that he won with... I mean, that guy won 8 Super Bowls. 6 as the head coach, 2 as the defensive coordinator. And yet it's... and it was all done... and remember, he came from a dad that coached at Navy. He cut his teeth under Bill Parcells. Like, you think that there's...
he's like Coach K.
Seriously. Exactly.
Coach K was Army and Bob Knight.
And you know, there's only one way to do that. And you can't change stripes. How old's Bill? He's 60.
Oh, no, he's like in his 70s.
He's 70 now?
Yeah. Dude, he and Pete Carroll and Saban are all roughly the same age.
You can't change.
73.
You can't change who you are.
Dude, just retire, man.
I know.
God.
He made over, and this is just according to Dr. Google, reportedly $200 million in his Patriots coaching career.
Yeah.
So
for the last handful of years there, the last, you know, 8 or 9 years, he was the highest paid coach in sports. Yep. I don't know about maybe soccer, but in North American sports, he was. That guy has so much money. But hey,
I'll tell you this, though.
When you're 70 and you've got a 24-year-old hot girlfriend, that costs money, man. You got upkeep. You got to keep her in mermaid outfits.
You know, I'm with you that I don't think he goes back to the NFL.
No.
But I think there's a lot of fans that would want him as their coach over their current coach.
Yes.
Like, whatever is happening with the Jets, Aaron Glenn ain't it.
No.
Tennessee.
Sure.
I mean, if you just throw him in Tennessee right now, they're better.
Yes.
If you throw him in New York right now, they're better. Giants or Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, so there is, like, that allure... But I just don't think upper management
is gonna
go for it.
No. And he is
at any of those places, but maybe they will.
Well, no one will turn over total control to him, and he that's ultimately what torpedoes him. He can't work side by side with people, and no one will give him at this stage of the game. No one will give him total control like he had in New England. He's a one on one, and I hope that once this all blows over, people can appreciate what he did. Because to be the general manager and the head coach, and yes, Tom Brady, I know he never won anything without Tom Brady, but some of those Super Bowls, in fact, a lot of those Super Bowls, that wasn't Tom Brady scoring 40 points. The Super Bowl against the Rams, that was Bill's defense. Super Bowl against the Panthers, that was Bill's defense. The one they lost against the Giants, what was that score? Was it like 17-14?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Bill's defense, the one they won, the second one they won against the Rams, that was 13-3. No offense to Tom Brady, because Tom is the GOAT. But now it has become this kind of punching bag of, well, we know who's responsible for that. Yeah. Let's look at some Super Bowls here. Like,
yeah, that's very wrong.
It's very wrong.
But he's done it to himself.
Yes, he has.
No one would be saying that if we haven't had this charade over the last 2 years. It's just a mess.
Or that if he hadn't had the petty crap the way it went down.
All right. Coming up next, finally, someone steps up at Stanford. That story when we return on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stanford got a little boost today. Of course, they are kind of in oblivion in football anymore. But
yeah,
it's weird that they're in the ACC.
Them and Cal, and yeah, the transfer portal has really just neutered Stanford in that they can't bring anyone in from the transfer portal. Like, I mean, this started with the whole graduate transfer thing. Their own players can't even stay after they graduate. Remember, David Shaw had a thing a number of years ago where some of his players would graduate early, and he would be like, please don't do that because we can't get you into Stanford graduate school. That's how bad it is. Stanford won't let football players, they won't give them access to their graduate programs.
Well, didn't Harbaugh, when he got there, didn't he actually loosen?
He was trying. So
academic standards?
So he was trying to where you couldn't get him to loosen standards. He tried to get it to where, once you got in, that he was trying to develop some majors where they would have some leeway to go. So, a
did
lot
that
of,
work? Did he? Get,
yeah,
because he was successful.
He was successful. So I guess at Stanford, my understanding is that they do not, you have to get into Stanford like anyone
you
else.
You have to qualify.
But once you qualify, they have carved out some majors. Basically, it's a football major where it's like, we're going to avoid some of the nasty stuff and we're going to give you, you still have to go to class. You still have to, you know, it's not a primrose path, but you're not in the same classes as all the other Stanford
majors.
Well,
I guess if you still have to qualify for Stanford, just like you normally would, why does that, like, why would you take that major? Because you're obviously very bright,
yes,
and capable of studying at Stanford because they let you in.
Because, I mean, I experienced a little bit of this at BYU where we actually had to go to class. It kind of pissed me off. I was like, what? We have to go to school?
You went to college and you got mad you had to go to class?
Well, a lot like at BYU is a really good academic institution. And they actually, I was kind of under the impression
wow,
that they, you know,
I was a lie.
Case of the supposedes.
A lot of schools, trust me, a lot of schools,
You got to go to class. What, a little African-American studies action like
you
UNC?
You think Paul Pierce was taking a lot of classes at Kansas?
Well, you ain't no Paul Pierce, homie.
I'll tell you what, neither is the guy on the end of the bench at Kansas. But no, at BYU, we were actually required to go to classes. And when I tried to take a real major, I've told the story. I was pre-med for like a year and a half. Turns out that when you're in a, like, Justin Herbert was, I think he was like a, it was like a biology something. Like he was in a serious major. When you're in that and you have to dedicate 65 hours a week to football on top of that. So everyone that gets into Stanford is capable of being a molecular, whatever, you know, engineer. Problem is that when you're asked to carry an entire football workload and then have those studies on top of it, very few kids. You have to be a really special kid in order to do that. So Stanford just is playing with, they're playing with one hand and a foot tied behind their back. Yeah. And now in the transfer portal, they can't fill those holes because none of those kids can qualify to come into Stanford.
Right. So, well, I mean, I guess I would say that over time, Stanford had a lot of kids that were able to balance both. And not everyone is, you know, trying to be a doctor. But yes, I get that their class load is a lot harder than other schools. But that's just the way they've always had to operate. Well, now Stanford just got a $50 million gift.
Yeah.
For their football program.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's crazy to think about this way, but it's kind of low. That feels low.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we just talked a couple weeks ago about the guy at Kansas, David Booth, who gave him $300 million.
Yeah.
$50 million seems low, but it isn't when you consider that it is from a former player. And it has nothing to do with facilities. It is a 100% gift.
Yeah.
In other words, most of the time when you get those $100 million donations like David Booth's at Kansas, they are tied to facility upgrades. This is not. This is just here.
Bucks.
Here's $50 million. That's one of the biggest individual gifts in Stanford football history outside of facilities.
Yeah. It's a lot. And I don't...
And the guy's name is Bradford M. Freeman, who was in a... What?
He said, what a douche, Bradford.
Well, I think it's a little,
pretty nice.
Little unfair. He's probably a pretty good guy. He just gave him $50 million.
I'm kidding. It's just a douchey name. But
graduated from Stanford in 1964. He's been a major donor for decades, played there, and was a, you know, he's one of those... I mean, they're almost always like hedge fund guys.
Yeah,
that's what he was.
Yeah,
or is.
And honestly,
that's a big thing for Stanford.
It's awesome. I don't know in the grand scheme of things what $50 million buys you. Like, I mean, every year now the highest revenue sharing is 20. I know Stanford's not going to share 20, but and then to build a competitive roster, you're probably in the neighborhood of at least another 10 or 15 mil. I don't know. I guess in the grand scheme, I don't know what $50 million does. Does it buy? It doesn't,
well, doesn't
buy.
Wouldn't it allow you to get better players? I mean, look, I get
for
that they.
For a short period.
I get that they have academic standards, but they're still really good, smart players that are also better that they probably can't get right now. Like, there's kids at Duke or so there's kids at Vanderbilt that Stanford could poach if they had more money.
Yes, and that's the other problem is that some smarty pants schools are getting pretty good. Vandy's getting good. The damnedest one is Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is the toughest. I've heard this so many times that Georgia Tech, believe it or not, is the hardest academic place because once you get into Georgia Tech, you have to take engineering classes. There is no liberal arts majors at Georgia Tech. So if you play football at Georgia Tech, you're a smart kid and you have all the football requirements. But yeah, you've got Georgia Tech now, you got Vanderbilt, you know, places like Notre Dame. I mean, there are good schools. BYU's got this. Like, BYU has built a competitive football team, and we make you sign a letter saying that you can't drink or have sex or do drugs. And they've managed to do it.
Good
so
point.
You can certainly do it if you're Stanford, but when you play with one hand and foot tied behind your back, you can't participate in the transfer portal, and you have no tradition, you have no school support, people don't show up at the games, it's not a good environment.
Maybe it allows them to buy a new coach.
Because
they're looking for a coach.
That would certainly help. And you've got to find ways to be competitive in paying kids.
Andrew Luck, Luck, for those who don't know, former quarterback, Andrew Luck, he is in charge of that program down
there. Yes, he is their general manager now.
And I would imagine, just like anything else, this is the same thing that we talked about at Oregon State. And unfortunately for Oregon State, they didn't land in a Power Four conference, and they don't have the donor base of Stanford. But look, it all comes down to the same things. Whether you're Andrew Luck or Scott Barnes, the Oregon State AD out there trying to get money to help stay afloat here, it comes back to money.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck knows that, clearly, and he was able to finagle $50 million. It's, you know, maybe he'll be able to get more, but that's really, in this day and age of college football, that's really...
Can you get
that's it? Yeah. Like, what what else is going to help you other than money?
Buy-in and money, but though they're
you need a coach.
That's the chicken and the egg thing, though.
Like, but you also have to pay the coach.
Yeah, which comes first? Getting buy-in or getting money? If you spend money, do you get
money?
It's money.
Money, it's all about money now. That's really it. And I know that frustrates people, but it's just the way it is.
And what's weird is Stanford has more money than just about anybody, but they don't have any, like, well, I mean this. Give them, they found someone to give them $50 million. But I remember when we interviewed Andrew Luck when he was here, and he was in the middle of, like, you know, his Heisman runs, where he ended up just short. I remember we talked to him at the media days. We're like, man, can you walk around Stanford, or do they just mob you? He goes, no one cares.
No one gives a shit.
He goes, no one
gives. Michelle Wee.
Yeah.
Tiger.
He goes, there's so many people here that are a bigger deal than me. And we're like, oh, my God. And I remember, think about that. Andrew Luck was the face of college football. If he existed in Bama or Michigan or Oregon or whatever, his life would have been, I mean, we hear like all the time where some of these star quarterbacks, they don't go to school. They take online classes because they can't be out amongst the people. There's too much of a scene. Dude, Andrew Luck's like, I don't know. I just walk around campus. Once in a while, someone says something to me and I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. And I think that's the other problem with Stanford is there's other things going on at Stanford, well, other than football.
Yeah. And but
can Andrew Luck get people to care?
There are at Vanderbilt as well, and they're very good right now. I really think that we overthink this some. Oregon State and Washington State, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more complicated, and it's tough on them. You know, it just is. It's harder.
Yes.
With everything that's happened to them. They are unique, and that sucks. Outside of that, everyone has their own unique challenges, some worse than others. Stanford would be one.
Yeah.
But I just think, if you can somehow get a coach, because I'm saying this from a Kansas perspective, dude, we were the joke of college football for so very long. It was as bad as it gets.
Yep.
We were winning one and two games a year,
yep,
if that, and coach after coach after coach. But we finally found a coach, and it is amazing what has happened at Kansas based off of that one hire.
Yeah.
And that's really it. Oregon State would be the same. I think we overthink it in a sense that, yes, it does come down to money, but money also buys you a really good coach. So if Stanford or Oregon State can just get that guy that stabilizes and even creates a little momentum winning games, you'd be surprised that how much money might follow.
Sure.
And how much success might follow, and success breeds success and fan interest. And then, so I really feel like it comes down to that. Stanford currently has Frank Reich as their head coach, and he is interim. He's just doing a solid for Andrew Luck.
Well, they find someone.
And I think it's actually smart what Andrew Luck has done, just saying, hey, we're just going to take our time here. We really need to get the right guy. I think that's right.
Yeah.
And because who has gone with an interim this long in college? They don't.
No.
One coach leaves and they're so terrified that the program's going to fall apart that they'll go instantly out and hire the next guy.
Well, and I hate to say this.
Stanford has not done that.
No, and I hate to say this because I don't like kicking dirt on anybody. Oregon State panicked and hired Trent Bray simply because...
It was a bad move.
Yeah. Trent Bray... Jonathan Smith leaving, and the Pac-12 was dying, and it was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And they took the one guy on the staff that would stay behind and end up being the head coach instead of actually doing a thorough search and doing what you said, taking your time. And you know, and this is kind of an unprecedented move, just doing the interim thing and being like, hey man, he's just here for a year. We know we're not going to win a lot of games anyways, but we need to stabilize this and figure out what we're doing. And maybe Stanford rises from the ashes as opposed to making a rash decision. And then 2 or 3 years down the road, you're like, oh, what the hell did we do? And now you have to dig your way out of an even deeper hole.
By But they just got $50 million to help them
find that guy and help them pay that guy. Yeah.
In Oregon State, you know, a fan texts in and says, well, it felt like we had that coach with Jonathan Smith. Well, you did. It's just, this is why I say it was really, it's way more complicated for you in Washington State. You got hosed, man. Yeah. Jonathan Smith wasn't going to stay no matter how much money you had because he knows that you weren't going to be in a Power Four league.
Yes.
Stanford at least was able to land in the ACC, and that helps Andrew Luck immensely. Yeah. And that's where it comes back to. Oregon State really did get effed.
Yeah.
And so did Washington State. But as we've been saying for a long time now, you can either cry about it or you can try to flip the script on it. Yeah. And
Stanford's trying.
Well, Stanford is, but I'm saying Oregon State and Washington State, there's a lot of whining about what has happened to them, and I get that. But
did you see Washington State?
You got to, I mean, get out there and fix it.
Did you see the Cougs trolling the Beavs?
Why?
Well, you know that whole blueprint sports crap and the NIL and...
I have no idea what blueprint sports is.
Oh, you missed all this. There was a... Oregon State had... It's just been... Oregon State is on a colossal heater of just S stories coming your way.
Turn into scam artists, too.
What is happening?
Well,
How long will this take, by the way?
Let's just say that they have an NIL scandal... They hired a company. They outsourced their NIL.
I did see that. So the guy quit, the head of the NIL?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Their
GM quit. The head of their NIL. Everyone's leaving.
Yeah.
And Washington State came out and had Washington State had a tweet basically outlining how every dollar basically that they get goes to their student athletes, 97%. And that's clearly a shot at Oregon State. So what Washington State is dunking on the Beavers online. That's how bad it is. The Cougs are trolling you.
So what's Blue Ribbon Sports? Is that the NIL?
Blueprint is it's a third party company that Oregon State farmed out their NIL collective to.
And they're taking a lot of money.
And it turns out that thing has been an unmitigated disaster. Teams are dropping Blueprint. They kind of miss. They should not have done it. It has been another in a long line of what the hell is going on down
there. Go Beavers, how about that?
It would take too long to go into everything, but it's not good.
How Scott Barnes still has a job.
I don't know.
Blows me away.
President just doesn't know what's going on or care, because that's the only one that can fire him, right? Is the university prez?
Yes. And now their associate athletic director, that Blaylock guy, apparently he's pissing in Gary Payton's face now. You haven't seen this one?
How many more of these are you going to hit me with?
They're just
I'm as your noted newsman, you're cutting into ITN here.
I will just say this.
Now, what is he saying about Gary Payton?
You cannot have
We'll have more time.
You cannot have a worse, 6 weeks than the Oregon State Athletic Department is having right now.
Okay, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this in my notes.
Yeah. Summary, Gary Payton tried to come and help Oregon State, and he basically said, no one will remember Gary Payton. Arguably the greatest athlete to ever go to Oregon State.
And who's that?
That's their associate athletic director that had to come out and try to clarify the Blueprint Sports thing that didn't go well either. They can't help themselves. The whole thing is
okay.
Just a
mess. I put in my notes worst 6 weeks in sports history, Oregon State edition.
We will talk about that. To the news.
We're going to revisit that. I want to know more. Yeah. That said, we must move on. You're noted newsman.
I need my news.
He's so fired up to talk about, you know, the recounting of the Christy Gnome scene in South Portland. It's just too funny, and we have to do it.
Let's do it,
and we will do that. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. them, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Running behind, per usual.
Look at us.
Look at us. It is October 8th. 2025. It is time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much. Please be seated and all rise all at the same time. Thank you.
For Aaron Judge?
No, Blue Jays are already up one.
Blue Jays are pretty nasty, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. They did have the best.
You think the Mariners will beat the Blue Jays?
The Mariners feared nobody. They wanted the Tigers. This was going to be a cakewalk.
Their hitters are pretty scary. The pitchers.
Mariner fan already downgrading the
cocky,
Jays.
Cocky sniff.
Did I tell you it's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at AdvocatesLaw.com?
No, but you just did.
I want to tell you that.
Even when they're sick, they're by still the way, defending you.
October 8, 2025 is the birth date of one Jack E. Ropp.
Oh!
Salina, Kansas. Dude, now Oregonian.
We love Jack Ropp.
We had breakfast with him this morning and he's doing great. 83.
Wow. I'm guessing maybe some toast with some scrambled eggs.
Well, we were at their place and so they had quiche this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, love it was delicious. All right.
I thought maybe you went out. No,
we went out to their place, and they served us all quiche.
I don't know why. I picture Jack is like some toast with some butter, maybe a side of bacon and some eggs, a very sensible Midwestern breakfast.
Now, he did add if you must know, to bog us down even further, he did add a biscuit.
Okay.
With jelly.
Oh.
With his quiche.
What kind of jelly?
Very important. Strawberry, I think.
Okay. Strawberry or grape is acceptable.
Strawberry is better than grape.
Let me tell you right now.
I think we all know that.
No.
When it comes to the breakfast toast, the strawberry jelly. Now, if we're talking a jelly sandwich, now we can talk more into the grape.
Yeah.
But for a breakfast purpose, the strawberry.
Greater than grape.
Greater than grape.
No question.
Yes.
And then sometimes the orange marmalade.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Is a nice little change up.
Sure.
Straight up honey, too, for a biscuit.
Yeah, sometimes.
Biscuit. It's a Popeyes move.
It is National Salmon Day.
Oh.
We did not have salmon. I love salmon.
Shout out to you, salmon bros.
Big salmon guy.
I prefer whitefish.
Yeah, me
but,
too.
But I do, you know, there's nothing wrong. I like going salmon fishing. But I would prefer maybe some halibut. Or a nice piece of cod if I were eating.
My dad takes a salmon fishing trip up to the, whatever you call them, the islands in Alaska.
The Aleutians?
Yes, thank you.
Boy, that's way out there.
Yeah, it's fun. They got a big fishing community there. It brings me back some salmon every year.
Yes.
I bet it's not fun.
No, that's fun up there.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's not.
Fishing in Alaska is the definition of God's country.
I'll be golfing in Mexico.
I understand. I think that probably fits you a little bit better. Maybe a nice fly fishing trip to Montana for you.
It is also Pet Obesity Awareness Day.
You chunky boys out there.
And girls.
That's true. You know, you don't want your dog to be too fat, but at the same time, dude, let him live. It's a dog.
Okay, well, I wanted to recount what Oregon Live had on the Christy Noem scene.
Yeah.
It's really funny, but I can't because it's now behind a paywall.
Ah. Well, I have
stupid effing Oregon Live.
Yeah. I can probably remove that for you. I've got my.
Well,
you're like, all I just saw her on top of a building. I saw her get out of an unmarked car, and then her weird plastic face was on top of a building. And
well, the guy in the chicken suit was down there.
Yeah,
it was a whole thing.
The chicken was down there. The frog.
There was a guy who said he works from home, so he just decided to go down there and set up. He just started working from down there.
Oh, my God.
Wacky.
I don't remember who it was. It might be Coin. Coin or KGW, one of the news networks, is now officially today launching a 24-hour stream.
Oh, nice.
Where they're putting a camera up, and then it's just staring at the GD building. Just ignore it. This is nothing important is happening. You're creating the story. And our fearless leader went on today and said that he sees video every day, and there's just fires everywhere. What fires? What is on fire in our city? I drive around every day in this city. What fire? Fires?
Christy Noem called our leadership pansies. And look, I mean, she's got a point there.
She is right on that one.
You know? Hey, you know what? That's fair. That's fair.
Point gnome.
Well, two things can be true here.
But she then threatened to send four times the federal troops so that you and I can finally have safety.
Well,
as we drive around.
Well, I'm going to a concert tonight at Moda Center, and I'm going to take a little Razor scooter over there. And I don't know. I may get murdered on the mile-and-a-half trip to Moda Center. I don't feel safe at all.
So
all hell is breaking
loose. The latest.
I have to go over a bridge.
Since a... America. Since a whirlwind visit from U.S. Department of Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem on Tuesday. And was it a whirlwind? Was it?
Oh, it was.
The city of Portland has taken steps to clear the entrance to the South Waterfront Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility at the center of nightly protests. Now, at the same time, Mayor Keith Wilson signaled that he will not capitulate to the administration's demands that the city block off a wide buffer area around the facility or create mandated, quote, free speech zones for protesters. What? So then if you're not in the free speech zone... have no free speech rights.
Can I just offer a simple solution like this? Can't we just say, all you dumbasses, just stand on that side of the street, and everyone that's involved in ICE, you stand on that side of the street, and you can all yell at each other, and then we just go about our merry way. I have friends that are like texting me and like, oh my God, how bad is it there? I'm like, it's not. There's 30 people. They're like, is it like thousands? Is it like the LA riots? No, it is not the LA riots. It is a man. I hand to God, I was watching on the news and someone named, I think it was like John Dickinson, and he did the entire interview in a witch's hat. That's where we're at. They literally interviewed a guy down there to get the scoop. Of all the people that were down there, they're like, there's only one man that can give us the story. John in the witch's hat.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's good stuff. We're doing bits. That's what we're doing.
Never interview a man in a witch's hat.
Bits. Wilson's office says, you have requested that federal officers be able to ingress and egress from the ICE facility without hindrance. The mayor and our local public safety professionals will continue to evaluate the situation on the ground, and they will continue to make public order decisions based on what they believe will be in the best interest of Portland and our community. In response to your request for free speech zones, the city of Portland commits to peacefully facilitating free speech throughout the city of Portland. So there you go.
I did have some fun, because the government people are now claiming that our police department is Antifa.
Yeah,
they're run by Antifa.
Yeah,
I have a bunch of cops that go to my jiu-jitsu gym. Boy, I'll tell you what, I had some fun with that.
They're not happy.
I was throwing a lot of Antifa comments at the Portland police bros, and they that was fun. So thank you. I will just say that was a fun little nugget. I enjoyed like the 15 minutes of me calling officers Antifa today.
There was one other thing that from the, there were a lot of funny little tidbits in the Kristi Noem experience yesterday, but one of them was that one guy ran off and was being chased by, I don't even know who's down there. Like, there's so many different entities and different uniforms. I don't know who was chasing him. Officials of some sort. And he jumped into the river and swam across. He swam over to the island.
I swear to God.
Which is basically, that's the island we used to try to hit golf balls at.
Yeah.
When we were out at our old our old studio.
Yeah, we'd line them and try to hit it across because it's like a 300 and something. I mean, it's a boat.
But you're not getting off the island, you moron. So they went and got a boat and drove out and arrested him. Unbelievable.
I mean, it's not brain surgeons down there.
God.
I love the guy, too, that's like, this is the Dwight James of the world. Sook, there's fent zombies everywhere. Yeah, we've got drug people. I'm not saying it's perfect, but someone explain to me how some people on fentanyl is the city on fire. Someone explain that to me.
Well, also, I would like to point out, I mean, if you're paying attention, there are no fent zombies down at ICE.
No.
That's not where they're going.
That's not.
This is the last place they want to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. There is no one on fentanyl outside of the ICE building. Now, if you head over to Burnside, you see some leaners. By the way, that fentanyl is the craziest S. Every time I see it,
they're just standing there sleeping like a horse?
Yeah, but they're like, I don't know how
half
they stay up.
Down,
we need to study. Like, fentanyl apparently gives you the greatest balance in the world. I have no idea what that is, but they're like heads will be on basically the ground, but they're standing upright. The fentanyl is amazing. I'm like, what is that? So, yes, That is not great. That is not, as you pointed out, that is not happening in front of ICE, nor does that mean that the city is, quote, on fire.
So somebody just texted in, so, you know, we have boots on the ground,
yes,
as you know.
Yes.
And they said, I'm here now. The dog's vet is by the ICE facility. Off-duty troops just gave him some pretty solid pets.
They give him one of these. Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Hey, have a good day, okay? Yeah. Good times. All right, one more story for you. Flying colostomy bag news.
Oh.
Next on The Fan. We are perennially behind, but I cannot shut down ITN today without giving you one more story.
Please.
So I'm going to do that for you right now. Thank you. This is in the news for October 8th, 2025. A 65-year-old man remains in the Multnomah County Jail after a weekend assault that sent another man to the hospital.
That doesn't sound good. Is this Mark Sanchez?
According to court documents, Portland police, or Antifa, as they're otherwise known, here in war-torn Portland, responded Saturday to Southwest Salmon Street on reports that a person was hitting another person over the head with a guitar.
I can't do that.
When officers arrived, they found a man with a significant amount of blood on his head and face, and a witness pointed out that the suspect was the man holding the guitar.
Come again?
When officers arrived, they found a man with a significant amount of blood on his head and face, and a witness pointed out that the suspect was a man holding the guitar.
So he was hitting himself?
No. The suspect was beating the guy over the head with the guitar, and he was standing there holding the guitar. Easiest thing for... Like, hey!
Hey, who's responsible?
Where'd you get all that blood? You might want to check that guitar. The witness told police she heard shouting and then saw the man being hit in the head with an acoustic guitar. When she attempted to break up the fight, she says the suspect ripped off his colostomy bag and threw it at her.
Whoa!
Yeah.
First off, if wrestling has taught me anything, the honky-tonk man, when you get hit with an acoustic guitar, doesn't it just shatter?
The honky-tonk man, you're right. Yeah, it's pretty thin. Like, it's hollow back, right?
Has anyone, I don't know this, has anyone actually hit anyone with a, has wrestling been lying to me this entire time? I was under the impression that if you hit someone with a guitar, it just shatters and then that's it. But apparently you can beat someone about the head and shoulders with it.
Well, no, you can't.
Well,
that's assault. But
you will be charged. Now, which is worse? If I told you that I was going to hit you in the head with a guitar or I was going to throw my colostomy bag at you, would you take the guitar?
Give me the guitar 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the guitar over the head. Mm. How many times you hit me with it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I move out of the way?
No, you're going to take it over the head.
Yeah,
or you're going to get hit with the urine.
Ooh.
Or the poo-poo.
Yeah. Nope. Colostomy bag can go one way or the other.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, we don't know.
No.
It's a potpourri.
I just like that.
Wild card.
How angry do you have to be to throw your colostomy bag? Also.
Yeah, because don't you need it?
Yeah, you would think. And by the way, I would think that that's uncomfortable because those are like strapped to your leg. My dad had to wear one after having bladder cancer for a while. And that's got a tube somewhere. So I would think that that's very uncomfortable. You can't just go willy-nilly ripping that thing out. Although something tells me, this is just a guess, our guitar-smashing, colostomy bag-throwing guy, probably insane. Or at the very least, enjoys the fentanyl. That
would
be my guess.
Pretty presumptuous.
Yeah. I'm just taking a guess.
He is a 65-year-old man named Cedric. And he was arraigned on charges of second-degree assault, unlawful use of a weapon.
Can't do that.
And menacing.
Which was the weapon, the colostomy bag or the guitar? Well,
that's why true. I chuckled, but I think it's the guitar.
Okay. Someone's saying if it's a solid-top guitar, then it's pretty thick, so...
Oh, really?
Well, like an electric guitar, that's a solid piece of wood.
Different.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
But an acoustic guitar, I would assume that just goes to smithereens. Chelsea, yeah. Can I bring an acoustic guitar in and hit you with it for the sake of the show?
You cannot.
Do you want to be our producer or not?
Yeah. Well, okay. If you say you get the job, do this, then yes.
No,
that's quid pro quo. It's just that what are you willing to do for the show? I think we need to test out the guitar thing, and I've got a couple like acoustic guitars just sitting in the garage.
What are you willing to do, Schultz?
No colostomy bags. Guitars, though, sure. I'm actually fascinated by this because a colostomy bag, like spitting on someone is assault, right? So I just, this is like,
I'm guessing
assault.
Throwing feces and or urine at someone. I'm guessing that's
like
probably,
a monkey.
Yeah, you can't.
You're not supposed to do that.
Not supposed to.
But if it's in a bag?
Well, again, that's,
if it's contained? If it's, yeah, what are we, yeah.
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
So my dog takes uncomfortably large dumpers. He takes some Cal Raleighs. I always scoop it up in the bag. If I throw that bag at someone, now it is contained in the bag.
Oh no.
And I hit someone with that, outside of it making it's going to be a thud. Is that, what am I charged with? Because granted I threw feces at you, not good.
Yeah.
But it's contained in a bag.
You should ask your cop friends, the Antifas.
I will. Michael, if you're out there listening to this program, sorry. By the way, I didn't call you Antifa. I just merely said that other people called you Antifa. And maybe I alluded those people right.
Well, it's pretty obvious they're Antifa, right? Well,
without question. The look on his face. Oh, it was priceless. Yeah, I don't know. I got questions. Now, I'm guessing if the bag breaks open and you do get hit with cow poo, now I'm in some trouble. But otherwise, it's just, you know, it's not any different than throwing like a bag of chips at you.
That's in the news for October 8, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Hey, coming up next, it's time. We got to get into Oregon, Indiana, college game day in the house. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.